Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? If it's for the Lord, give it a round of applause for the Lord. He deserves all glory and honor. Actually, this song that was arrested was inspired in John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and then we get that was arrested. If you haven't seen the process of creating that song, is just they start with that verse, and then it's just a whoop scripture all throughout the song there. I have the privilege to share with you and continue our series Beyond Comfort Zones. When Pastor Tim and I, we got together a few weeks ago, and he was like, "Well, I'm gonna be gone," and he looked at me, he smiled, he was like, "Okay, what's going on here?" And then he was, "Well, we want to preach?" And I was like, "Okay, yeah, I think I can preach. Let me pray." And I did, and God actually spoke to me. If you may receive something out of today's sermon, praise God. But this series came about God is speaking to me. And I just want to share what he shared with me already. And I want to start with the end in mind. So the thought process out of this Comfort Zone series is, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this is what came to mind. This is the first thought out of everything. If Jesus is coming back soon, amen. I'm going to leave it at that. And I'm going to come back to that later on. Because really, no, Jesus is coming back soon. Why aren't we making an scandal about that? Why aren't we just, you know, the Astros just won. And people were shopping like crazy. Somebody posted a video of them shopping in Academy. And the line was like, oh my goodness. I was amazing. I wanted a shirt, but I wasn't going to make the line. But Jesus is coming back soon. Why isn't the masses, like, lining up outside churches, not just here, in everywhere, because Jesus is coming back soon? That's where I started this series, Beyond Comfort Zones. Let me just share something that I've been experiencing ever since that year started. I went and got checked out, and they told me that I needed to exercise and eat healthier. I don't know why these people come up with these things, but anyways, I started working out, and you know, we got in better. We're working our way out of an unhealthy lifestyle to a healthier lifestyle, and I want to share with you something that I've been doing every single day. Monday through Friday, I'm working out. Now, I don't really have the time to work out during the day, so I have to wake up extra early. Just to work out. I brought with me a 25 dumbbell. This is something that I use for my workouts. I actually work out at home. I don't go to a gym. Before I got married, I started like collecting workout equipment, although I never used it. just gotta be honest. And now I do have like a mini gym for me. I mean, in Maryland. And now this is one of the things that I use. It is interesting enough that our bodies can adjust to different environments, to different things in life. Working out is all about waking up early or just leaving that time, because maybe waking up early is not an option for you. Maybe you have to stay later at night, right? But for me, it's just waking up early, eating healthier. I'll be honest, I'm tired of eating salad. So what I done is that I got myself like different dressings, and I just use different dressing every single different day, and that helps a little bit. Although, you know, I'm tempted sometimes to just, you know. Anyways, we're gonna leave it at that. The other thing with this is getting enough rest. I am still struggling with this one. I don't know how to rest properly. To the point that I actually injure myself with this arm. It's hard for me to do weight. because I wasn't getting enough rest. I was lifting, and I was excited. I was like, man, I can do this. I can get this. I was like, Pastor Tim, let me do it. I wanted to do everything. But I wasn't getting enough rest. So I ended up injuring myself. I'm recovering from that. I'm getting better. But still, it was just, oh, I mean, I wish that I could lift like I was lifting, but now I have this injury that I have to take, that I have to be really careful in how I exercise. Otherwise, I'm just going to make it worse. In the beginning of the year, I injured my knee playing soccer with Iglesia. And somebody just like flipped me off. Anyways, it's now healed, but it took like more than 6 months for me, like not doing anything with it, like doing like stretches and all of that. Now, I'm feeling that I'm feeling the benefits of working out and in healthier. I feel more flexible, although I don't flex really well. I feel like I can just jump off a building now. I can do these things. I have the energy. No, for real. Like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, let's go, let's ready to go. And Marilyn is like, what's going on? And I'm like, come on, we gotta go. Because I have the energy now. I have the drive. I have the motivation to keep on going. But even in exercise, there's something called like the plateau zone, if you want to call it. That is whenever you're doing the same thing, but you're not having any gains, right? You just, you know, you grab your dumbbells and you're just like, whoa, right? But your muscles aren't growing anymore. You're just maintaining your weight. So what you have to do in order to get out of that plateau zone is to get uncomfortable, right? It's to dive into the waters that are super deep because you don't know how to swim, and then, kapam, 40 pounds come into place, right? So, I'm getting tired already. Talk about being with motivation and everything. Like, so, in order for your workout to also to keep reaping the benefits or having that healthy style and getting enough rest and eating better, you have to take some risks with all the cautions. I'm not saying just jump out of the bridge because then you're going to kill yourself. But if you take the process slowly and every week you start adding more weight, if every week you start doing different exercises with the same weight, and you do that, you are actually going to go from just doing some simple 25s because even when you do dumbbells, you don't do this because then you are cheating, right? If you're doing this, you ain't doing 25 pounds. I'm sorry. You got to do the weight right. Now, I actually been preparing my arm to do 40. So, the way that you do this is, without moving this part of your arm, you will start, oh, come on, this, yeah. It's looking good, oh, all right, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I'll take that any day. It's been a process. I didn't just lift 40 pounds a couple of times, because I can now do 40 pounds for a couple of reps without feeling the tension that something is going to break or that I'm going to hurt myself. But it was a process to get to from 25, where I feel super comfortable. Like, I can do 100 from 25 easily. And 80, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm feeling it. But with those, I mean, a couple is going to leave me out of breath. So there's a process to get from here to there. But you have to make the jump. Are you willing to make the jump? Now, let's pray before we actually begin. Dear Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. Yeah. We praise your name for who you are, Lord. You are awesome. You are our God. And thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. As we continue our series, Beyond Comfort Zones, we want to praise your name, Lord. I ask, Lord, that the words in my mouth, Lord, will come from you, Lord, that you will speak into our lives, Lord. And thank you for allowing us to be here in this place, Lord, so that we can learn and just take something from the scriptures, Lord. Thank you for this morning, for the ones that are able to be here, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now remember, as I'll preach this message to you, this is what the Lord gave me. If you receive something from it, I praise his name with everything that I got. So will you turn your Bibles to Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. And there are some names that I'm going to mispronounce. I'm just going to tell you, I'll let you know already. I'm not even going to attempt to do that anymore. Because then I'm gonna get nervous and anxious and just, we're going to skip that. So Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 11 says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites," I'm just going to mispronounce it, I'm sorry, "Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Hebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians, the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." We end with verse 11. "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Isn't it interesting to see Moses having this conversation with God? And the idea, I remember my parents, any of them, you pick any of them, and if I were to say no to them, and they were expecting a yes, they were going to get their way. And they were going to teach me a lesson on why I needed to say yes. So I can imagine Moses having this conversation with God and saying, "Who am I to go?" And of course, God knows all of this, right? He's like, "Man, Moses, if you could see what I see in you, right? If you could just see that." So they were suffering to the point that God noticed their cries. And that is, I think that is important, though, because God notices things that we struggle with, right? He knows our lives. He knows the things that we are afraid of. He knows the things that we are even comfortable with, right? God knows. And sometimes he will use people. He will send anybody, whomever he wants to send, so that we can actually break out of that comfort zone. Now, when I see the Israelites, they were comfortable in Egypt. Let me just say that, right? They were crying. They were suffering. But they were comfortable because that's all that they knew, right? So that was a false reality that they were living in, right? Because God has something even greater for them, and they couldn't see that yet for themselves, right? For me, I think I've shared that with you a couple of times. I always ask God, how do you want me to serve? And he will somehow bring me here. I've been connecting with Houston First for a while now, even before I became a pastor. And I was serving, I was playing the guitar, I was doing this, I was doing that. But I was always telling God, "No. I can help you out, but on my own terms. I don't want to help you out the way that you want me to serve." It was just a false reality. If we actually jump to Exodus chapter 14, verses 12, it says, and this is actually the Israelites speaking to with Moses. "Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Sometimes when we are comfortable in our own way, isn't it better just to end it all like that? I know, at least I know what I'm doing. At least I don't have to think about, is something going to go right? Is something going to go wrong? And I feel like this is the Israelites at that moment. Whenever they couldn't, I'm pretty sure they're exhausted out of walking. All the way. Have you ever been on a hike so long that you're just like, "Man, I'm like ready to give up"? And they've been walking, they're doing this, and they're like, "Man, if we were just in Egypt, You know, we were good. We were going to die anyways. But at least we knew that. At least we knew that, you know, we were miserable there, but we were okay with that. It's hard to see the promised land from Egypt.
Yes,
when I was serving in here, in my own mind, God wanted me to step up and really break that comfort zone. Because I think I've shared this even before, that I didn't want to be a pastor. I grew up in my dad was a pastor, and then he was a co-pastor back in El Salvador. And I seen the time that he's investing in ministry, right? Sometimes I will get to the point that I repented ever since. But I will tell my dad, can I just schedule a meeting to meet with you? Because he was, and I'm not blaming him at all. Don't. It was just, I wasn't seeing the big picture. I was seeing things how I wanted to see things because I was comfortable where I was. And I couldn't get on board with the vision that God had for my dad. And it wasn't until like later that I was like, oh, now I see it. Now I'm beginning to see where God is sending him to be and the people that he's reaching. Now I see that. Now I'm in love with Iglesia. Like, I love those people. Like, you know, I come here. I love you guys too. I'm just saying the example. Like, I love everybody. But, you know, when because my dad was still the pastor for Iglesia, I was like, no, I don't want to be the pastor. And sometimes people would tell me, like, oh, if your dad goes, you know, like back to El Salvador or he goes to heaven with Jesus, like, you're going to be the pastor. And I was like, no, like, I can step in for a couple of weeks and we're going to get a new pastor. It's not going to be this guy. Because I wasn't seeing the promise. I wasn't seeing what God had, even for me at that moment.
Amen.
Now, leaving Egypt meant pursuing God.
Yes.
Leaving our comfort zones means pursuing God.
Yes,
in the process of me saying no to God, I was like, I want to serve my own way. I remember Pastor Tim and I had different conversations, and I told him no a couple of times. I was like, he was like, do you feel like God is healing you to be a worship leader or pastor? And I remember what he said, and I was like, nope. Can play the guitar, that's it. And then he was like, do you feel that God, different occasion, do you feel that God is calling you to be a youth pastor? Nope. I can be a chaperone, but nope, it's not me. It's not this guy. Because there's uncertainty in the desert. You just don't know what is up there, right? You don't know what is going to happen when you leave your home, right? Because in our homes, we feel safe, we feel protected, right? There's security in there, but once we are out of that place, it's hard to know what is going to happen. You just not, if you're driving, you don't know if somebody's going to hit you. You got to be careful. You got to watch out because you don't know what is going on in your surroundings. So living requires faith. What does that mean? That I am not in control, that he is in control. Again, this is what God spoke to me. The last meeting that I had with Pastor Tim, he was like, will you consider, do you feel that God is calling you to work in full-time ministry? To me, I was like, full-time ministry, they don't go together. What is that? Like, you serve and you go to church. Full-time ministry, no. No. Like, I know, I've seen it from my dad, right? It's not like he's making a lot of money, right? And full-time ministry? No, it doesn't match. And I remember that one time that I was already dating Marilyn, and Pastor Zim asked me that I think that was his last his last chance of reaching or like, you know, trying to get me on board with God, literally with God. And he was like, would you consider working in full-time ministry? And I was like, all right. Let me pray about it, and then we'll get together. Started praying. I talked with Marilyn, and I was like, Marilyn, I spoke with Pastor Tim, and he's saying that full-time ministry thing. Like, you know, how is that going to work? I was really, really comfortable where I was. I was making decent money where I was. The hours, and the manager and I had an arrangement and spoken agreement there, and I was like, I was living the life. I was literally, I had like evenings off because I love working mornings, and I was good. I was good, and I didn't coming into ministry. It's like, Marilyn, like, what are we gonna do? Like, you know, I don't know. I'm the kind of person that is, if you're in it, you're in it to win it. Like, if you're in it, and I told her, I was like, I just gotta be honest. Ministry is one of those things that you don't know what's gonna happen. Like, God might take you to Alaska one day. You gotta go to Alaska one day. Or, you know, you're not gonna have a lot of things, right? But you're gonna have enough to live. Because my dad was really like a man of faith. Like, if he didn't have any, he would be like, God, I trust you, and somehow God will provide. Seeing that is one thing. Living it out is a whole different thing. And I told Marilyn, I was like, if we do this, because I told her, I was like, you're not going to tell me yes and then leave me. Like, if you're telling me yes, we're like in it together. And I was like, pray, we're going to come back to this. And God just started like, I started wrestling with the idea of like full-time ministry. Like, you guys don't, well, maybe you do. I don't want to say you don't know, but it's hard to struggle with that. Maybe you're getting a new like job offer, and you don't know if you have to move for that. Like, that's the thing that I was struggling with. And leaving required faith, because I wanted to be in control of my own schedule. I wanted to be in control of my own like time and the things that I wanted, that I was doing, and the money that I was getting. And I told God, okay, Marilyn is saying that you're telling her yes. I spoke with my parents, and I was like, this is going on. And they were like, well, if this is what God is calling you to be. And I was like, well, I just don't know. But if he's saying something, I mean, I want to respond to that. And I told God, I'm going to say yes. But from this moment on, you take care of me, and I'll take care of your business. And I mean, the first year I was like, I would be in my office, and I would be like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, it's just weird. Like, you know, like, oh, like talking to people on the phone. My goodness, that's the hardest thing that you know. I wasn't comfortable. I was uncomfortable doing that. And then, you know, God provided. God gave me enough to keep going. And from being comfortable to being uncomfortable, it was the best process ever, because now I can tell you that I love ministry now. I love people, like, to the point that I'm actually even like pushing myself to actually leave my comfort zone, right? To being uncomfortable. This year, actually, I started going to football games. I don't even like football that much. Because I don't get it. I don't understand it. That's not my culture. I like soccer. I don't understand soccer. I try going to football games. And I'm always the guy, like, if everybody cheers, woo! I don't know what we're cheering for. It's just the truth. I'm learning little by little, right? I started going to JV, to the point that was really a big step. Like, I know Pastor Sarah has a connection with Bain, and she's going there with the principal and everything. I also, thanks God, now have a connection with one of the assistant principals, with one of the men of honor clubs. And I was there not too long ago, and we provided nacho and cheese for the students. They started coming up to me. They started talking about different things, and how God moves, but he couldn't have moved if I would have been just comfortable where I was, right? Now, I didn't make the step of being like, yes, God, in ministry, but then I could have just been in my office and just make phone calls all day. But you got to be uncomfortable to allow the power of God to really move in those around you. Like literally, I assume, and I do this before I go to like anywhere that I feel uncomfortable. I do. Okay, and I just go. And yeah, for real, like God is opening doors. And those doors are open. We just need people to actually step through those doors and say, you know what? I want to be uncomfortable for Jesus. I'm willing to leave my things for Jesus. Jesus is coming back soon. Are we comfortable here where we are? Or do we want to be uncomfortable enough to go outside of these doors and just really give it all to Jesus? Oh, to Jesus, I surrender. Are we surrendering everything to Jesus? Is there anything in your life that you are not surrendering to Jesus, that you know that you should be surrendering that to Jesus? Literally, this is the struggle that I was feeling when he gave me this not too long ago. God wants me, let me just personalize that, and you can personalize that for you. God wants me out of my comfort zone. And sometimes that could be like daily life, like habits. There are some things that we do, right? There's some things that we don't do. And I want to leave that out to you. I'm not even going to go into that. But one of the things that God was speaking into my life, and I don't want to offend anybody. But if you have ears to hear, like hear what the Lord is saying. He was literally just... Why, I'm just going to read it off because it's just hard for me to say it. Why aren't parents not talking with their kids and expecting me to change their lives?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Woo, I'm just.
Yes.
God wants to do something even in your family.
Amen.
But you got to be uncomfortable enough to start a conversation and see what's going on. I still want to talk to your kids. And Pastor Sarah wants to talk to your kids as well.
Amen.
But we cannot change their life in 1 hour.
Right.
You have them all. I mean, I'm just talking to the camera now. You have them all this time, right? Why is it that this generation, that this culture is a cancel culture, right? I can be canceled for saying this. Right, and our Facebook page can be taken down for that. But why are we afraid to step out of that comfort zone and to say, you know what, it is true. Why don't we stand in faith and equip our parents, right, our grandparents, to actually invest that time with their kids or maybe with their grandkids, you name it. There's some things that we gotta change to be uncomfortable. For Jesus. Discipling someone. And we just got to show this. Like, we know that we're going to say it. Discipling somebody sometimes requires time and money. Are we comfortable enough where we are? Or do we want to be uncomfortable enough to actually invest in somebody else, so that they can invest in somebody else, that then it's gonna invest in somebody else, and this is just gonna grow and explode. Like a little plug here. Last Sunday, we started a training, and we were talking about being in the game, right, or being in the stands. Am I comfortable playing the game? But am I actually playing the game, or do I just like in soccer, especially in soccer, you can actually be in the game, but not playing the game. You can just be like, woo! Yeah, like, oh yeah, you know what? Oh, coming. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing what I should be doing, which is if I'm defense, like I should be defending. I should be like watching. I was like, okay, they're coming. Like, you got it? Okay. You see, we gotta step out of our comfort zones for Jesus. God is coming soon. What are we going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? About God is coming soon. Letting go of what is holding me back is also another thing that we just got to give God control. This is something that I actually struggle, you know, sometimes. It's just fear of not being enough for something. I want us to jump back to Exodus chapter 4. And I just want to read verse 10. And it's actually Moses telling something to God. And he says, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow in of speech and tongue." It's easy for us to say why we shouldn't be the ones being uncomfortable. It's easy to say that. Like, let me tell you. And I try not to do this sometimes. And I just want to be real with you. I want to show you that God was really speaking to me. Sometimes it's hard for it's easy for me to compare myself with different youth pastors. And sometimes when I start comparing what they're doing and the size of the group, I get into this mode of like man, what am I doing here? Like, am I doing enough? Am I doing what God has called me to do? And I start comparing my calling to them rather than what God has for me. And it's easy sometimes for me to do that. Yeah. And God, see, and this is the beauty of it. It doesn't matter what others think. What matters is what God has created me to be. Amen. And to do.
Amen. Exactly right.
So, amen. If you want to take something out of this sermon today, and I know Pastor Timmy is going to finish the series next Sunday. And I hope that I don't get in trouble with him. He's going to be like, "Man, what were you saying on Sunday?" I want you to be uncomfortable for Jesus. Because either we go down fighting.
Amen.
Or we just go down.
That's right.
How do you want to go down? Do you want to go down fighting for Jesus? I know it's hard, and I know sometimes we put ourselves, I mean, we compare ourselves to the calling that somebody else has. And we say, well, one of the things that I struggle with it is I'm an introvert. It takes me like a couple of seconds to warm up to the environment and say, "Hey, good seeing you, good morning." Like, to generally do that, it takes me a second. Naomi, she does that yesterday. We actually went to an event for Chillbearers, I think, and she was like, I mean, we were talking, and I was like, "Yeah, you know my day." And she's like, "Naomi, where are you?" I mean, she was really talking with everybody else, and I was like, but, you know, just being there, like, it motivated me to say, you know what, if she can do it, I can do it. And then I started feeling confident because I was there with her, and I was just doing that, and I was like, you see, sometimes we're just afraid to step into that, you know, into that zone where we can just be uncomfortable for Jesus. I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you this morning, but I hope that you are wrestling, because when the Lord was giving me this, I was kind of making a list in my mind. I was like, okay, yes, that needs to go. That needs to change. That, okay, yes, Lord. Jesus is coming back soon. I need to make sure others have an opportunity to hear what God has done in me before it's too late. If you are a first-time guest here, you know, we are excited that you are here and you haven't been walking with the Lord for so long. Don't worry about it. It is the best thing that you can do. And God is going to use us to actually go and just, you know, expand this gospel of Jesus to everybody. But we have to be uncomfortable in order to do that. We have to break out of the 25-pound dumbbell, right? Because even with my injured arm, 25 is just like, you know, it's easy. 45 over here. I mean, I'm sorry, 40. That's a different story. Like, you know, it's hard. And I get super tired. Like, you know, when I finish my workout and I use this dumbbell, like, it's not the same as using that. I'm, like, exhausted. I need my protein. I need my water. Like, you know, it's hard. But Jesus is coming back soon. And I want us to get rattled, to get crazy about it. Like, you know, when I was growing up, like, Jesus was still coming soon. And all, just because he hasn't come yet doesn't mean that he's not coming. He's going to come one of these days. And to see how the world is just crazy right now, don't you think that that's just, it's just, you know, a possibility for God to come even earlier? I don't know. Whenever he comes, I know that we're going to be ready. I know that you're going to be ready. Because the fact that you are here, that you woke up this morning, you tell yourself, you know what, I'm going to go to church again. I want to be there. I want to praise God. Amen. It's hope for all of us because, you know, we are here. But what about the ones that are not here? Yeah. Right? Yeah. What about the ones that couldn't make it today? Yeah, we got to be crazy about Jesus. You know, one of the things that is funny, Iglesia and Houston First and all of the congregations do this. You can do it next Sunday if you want. If you notice, the middle section is always empty. Always empty. If you go anywhere, always empty. And when we have guests, where do they sit? Oh, I mean, the back is already full. I mean, come on. They're going to have to sit here where they feel uncomfortable, right? So why don't we start for ourselves? Simple things can go a long way. Literally, like, I started working at the beginning of the year, and I'm still, it's a process, right? It's never going to end. You don't do just one thing and that's it. You keep on going. So I want to finish with this. Jesus is coming back soon. If you remember anything, like, remember this. Jesus is coming back soon. I need to make sure that others have an opportunity to hear what God has done in me before it's too late. And if we can just fire the Matthew 28, 19, it's a great commission. It says, therefore go and make disciples, you know, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So what I'm hearing from this is, he is with me always. If I'm uncomfortable, he's going to be there with me always. I know it's hard. Trust me. I know it's hard. If anybody knows how hard it is to preach in English when it's your second language, it's this guy. Like, I'm nearly translating things in my mind as I preach. That's very uncomfortable. Yes. But if God can use me, amen, to do this, he can use you to do greater things. I want to encourage you to be uncomfortable for Jesus. Amen. If we need to make a t-shirt out of that, like, uncomfortable for Jesus, we'll make it. So that we can be reminded, you know, of that. I wanna finish with these questions. What are the things keeping me in my comfort zone? You can make a list if you want. You can list them out. Where is God calling you to go or to reach? And this is the most important question. Why am I afraid to leave my private place or comfort zone? Truth be told, if you are in that private place, it's because you are very comfortable in there. I was very comfortable there. And there's some places in my life that I'm still comfortable that I need to get uncomfortable. So I pray that God will that you got something out of this message, just like I did. And let me tell you, we're gonna keep trying. We're gonna keep going. So we need to go from the 25 to the 40 pounds. Would you please stand as we pray? Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be here in this place. Thank you for allowing us to hear, Lord, the things that you have for us. We praise your name. We give you glory, Lord. You are our God. You are, Lord, our everything. And we just want to be uncomfortable for you. Yes. Lord, I know sometimes it's just scary to go to places where we don't know what's going to happen. But you are going to be there with us, Lord. We know, Lord, in our hearts that you are going to be moving, that you're going to be using us in ways that we don't even imagine, Lord. So thank you for allowing us to come here, Lord, and to learn and to be challenged by you, Lord, and the things that you have for us. All glory goes to you. Use us however you see fit. Amen.